Welcome to the Dr. Denise Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole, lucky enough to co-host again today with Dr. Denise McDermott. Doc, how you doing?
I am doing great. I'm smiling. I get so excited when we can just jump on, you know, a show and do this. So thank you for being back on the show and being here today.
Well, I'm thrilled to talk about this topic. Last time that you and I talked, it's okay if the listener doesn't listen in order, but we talked about living limitlessly. Limitlessly. That's not really a word, but that's okay. We talked about the Live Limitless campaign, and we thought it would kind of be fun to flip the coin and talk about creating healthy boundaries.
Absolutely. And I think boundaries are so crucial, whether it's at the workplace, school, as a parent, and, you know, really thinking about what that really means.
Well, take the uninitiated back, like three steps back. For those of us who are kind of like, well, what does she mean a boundary? Like, I know the school boundary or my voting district boundary. What do you mean in terms of creating good mental health? What is a boundary?
Oh, okay. Very good. So when we're interacting with people, it's important that we know how much we want to. So the word boundary in this particular instance is talking about setting personal boundaries with your own emotional well-being, as well as we can possibly touch on physical well-being. So whether we're in a relationship, you know, as a parent, like a mother to child, like what are the boundaries of the rules of the home? How much are you going to let someone push the limits, whether it's with their chores or with their tardiness? If it's in a relationship, it's, you know, how much personal space do I need? Right. How much do I want to let someone into my inner world? So it's a really interesting word because it's almost can be its own infinite definition, but it's really important that we know and love ourselves enough to actually be mindful and aware of what our own personal boundaries are with whoever we are interacting with.
Do you find it much more difficult for some people rather than others to get even the concept of setting boundaries and why it's important? Are there some of us who are just not as good at it?
Well, it's actually really, it's a really tricky question because
right.
Getting answers, yes. And I don't...
But we don't want to criticize people who might find it that that's not their neurostyle to be really full of boundaries.
Well, you know, we have to talk about what's mental health. And when I was in India, I came up with the foundation of we need to have awareness, self-love, and altruism. So depending on your neurostyle, and I define neurostyle as we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. So we can sort of celebrate everyone's different way they process the world. So, you know, I try to get away from stigma and words like disorder, you know, even though I am a practicing psychiatrist and I do have to make diagnoses. So to answer your question, different neurostyles might be more open. Like there's, and also it could be a cultural thing. That's why I like the word neurostyle, because it actually is all encompassing. It's made to address all cultural beliefs, spiritual beliefs. And so let's just talk about something that's from a mental health perspective. Sometimes people have trouble setting boundaries if they're an empath. And an empath is someone who really can kind of tap into other people's feelings. They're really aware. And so sometimes they might want to make someone else feel good because they can feel someone's sadness or their anxiety, but they might do it to their own detriment. They might not be putting their own oxygen mask on. So that goes back to that awareness, self-love, and altruism. Some people are just so caring for others. Sometimes they're not putting their own personal boundary of self-love when they're making a decision or having an interaction.
So it is important to set these boundaries in our lives, whether it be professionally, at home, in a relationship. It really does bring good things for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What are some of the things that we get from setting good, healthy boundaries?
Well, do we want to give an example? I think people like examples.
Sure. Right? Sure. Give us working world, a good, healthy boundary.
Well, let's put it this way. I work with a lot of very successful executives And, you know, there was a time, sometimes when you get to the higher echelon in the CEO world, there's a lot of narcissism, and there's narcissism can be healthy and unhealthy. And unhealthy narcissism is where, you know, it's all about you, it's ruthless. And so I've had to help some people that were very intelligent people that were actually, you know, practicing attorneys and some corporations around here who had bosses that were just really throwing them under the bus. And so when you go to a business meeting, or if you're in a professional situation and you feel like someone's trying to kind of out you out of the company, or you're about to go to a meeting where there's six people there and someone's going to come up with some topic about you that's not true, I think these are like almost like red flag boundary discussions, where maybe someone's already boundary violated you in another meeting where they actually misrepresented your data or who you are. This can happen, you know, in the academic world, people can steal people's research. And so in the business world, you have to really watch your back, right? Right. You have to use discernment. You have to figure out who's trustworthy and who's not. And so in the business world, sometimes people have to go to HR. Like if someone's been not respectful and doing things in business meetings, or they have to save all their emails, or they have to keep data. This is when something's going wrong with boundaries, right? So I've helped people through situations where they could have easily quit the company. It was that bad. Mm. But they wrote it out. I did therapy with them for months, and they did all the right steps with HR. And then they got the data and found out that this person was doing multiple things to all kinds of people. So they really, you know, had to set their own boundaries each day of how they were going to be treated, if they needed to leave the meeting early, if they needed to document. So that's one example. I mean, you can ask me a question about another one, but I thought that might be a good example. It's a little bit more of a worst case scenario,
right?
Boundary.
Right. I've had friends have the same similar things at work, and, you know, basically been told, like, sometimes with certain people, it's like extremely hard with some of these bosses and whatnot to set these boundaries, but it's so imperative to do, just for one's own sake and for their own mental health, because it, you know, it can have all sorts of repercussions, even on your physical health. So talk to me about, like, maybe setting a boundary. Like, how do we set a boundary with our significant other, with our spouse? What do we do?
Well, I think there's different stages of relationships. So that's kind of I'm going to go specific now, because you asked a broad question. I'm going to give an example. Right. So, like, let's say you've already gone through that really fun loving lust stage of the courtship before, you know, this is before marriage. And you said spouse, I'm just going to relate it to anyone you're dating. You have to know yourself well enough to say, I need some more free time. Or when I say setting a boundary, it's like, what percentage of time maybe do you have a date night? How do you communicate if you both are working or one of you's not working and maybe you had a really tough day with the kids? It's all about communication. So I think if you have a qualitative way of checking in, like, oh, honey, I had a really tough day at work, and I really need at least 30 minutes to 45 minutes with my own bubble bath tonight, or some free time. Can you help me with the kids? Or vice versa. Maybe someone else comes home like, I just can't do it tonight. I can't. And then you could tell the kids then, Mom and Dad, we love you, but it was a tough day at work. You did nothing wrong. They just need some private time. I've taught my son, because his sensory style is that he requires, after being in a very loud or social situation, and I've kind of realized, like, I'm learning so much from him that I find it the same now. Like I kind of survey the area when we go to like a loud restaurant or something and I get home, my son's always like, Mom, I need some private time. And I've taught him to ask for it in a very respectful way, because he knows that for his own mental health, his boundary is, that was sensory overload. Now I need a break.
Mm. So I'm learning that you can have boundaries in terms of other human interaction, but you can have boundaries in terms of sights and sounds and smells that you might have to set for yourself.
Absolutely. And that's why it goes back to those core essentials of mental health: awareness, self-love, and altruism. Because, you know, it's great to want to make sure the family's happy or your workplace is happy, or, you know, in any situation, but you have to make sure you're also doing well. And a lot of people, if you're super caring and loving, sometimes you'll put others in front of yourself. And I'm not saying be selfish. I'm talking about self-care. So that's like a boundary in itself. Like, how do I love myself? How do I do self-care? And kind of how do we create the most win-wins for all involved, whether it's in the workplace, the home life? And what I'll give you another example. I have someone that's starting to do some Instagram social media that's going to be launching because I really haven't had as much of a presence on Instagram. And I know she's fantastic, but I wanted to start the campaign out like, what's month one like? And we started adding like the to-do list. And then she was like, well, she hit her saturation because she's going to do an excellent job. And I know she wants to research things. So then when you're starting to work with a new person, like that's going to do a campaign, you know, you want to make sure you're paying them the right amount, that they feel comfortable, that it's, you're honoring their expertise. And I think one of the biggest communication styles, whether it's an employee, your child, your spouse, someone you're dating, is to have a qualifier where you're checking in. You know your boundary, and then you're checking in the boundary with someone else. And I mean, we can even talk about dating too if you want.
Yeah, there's so many things to talk about. Dovetailing off what you just talked about, the starting a new professional relationship with someone, and you set boundaries. Help me with this. I've had this happen in my personal life, and I've had other friends warn me ahead of time that this is going to happen, yet it still happened. When you employ someone and the boundaries are clear cut, but then as you guys grow to love and respect each other and the work you do, the boundaries sometimes soften up and the relationship then takes a strange turn because the boundaries went all gushy.
Right.
So how do you keep that from happening with, say, someone you employ or someone beneath you at work or something like that?
I think you have to talk. I would say communicate, 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 because you have to say, wow, we have our business part of our relationship, but boy, I really like you personally. And how do we then put the personal versus business and make sure that we're still getting the business done? And right. Then some people have to make the decision that we just can't be friends, because let's say someone's doing some really high level business where there's like so much at stake. You know, you might have to put the friendship aside and say, we just have to be business now. Or, you know, some people can do it. I know that there's families where there's generations of family businesses get handed down. I've had to work with family members who, let's say they hire someone new that's not genetically related, that's just a superstar. Mm-hmm. And that person's feeling like, I'm the one who got this family business turned around. But everyone in the family's like, but this is our business for the generations.
Right.
And so this is why communicating is so important in all of, if you can see this conversation, we could probably do like a whole podcast called Boundaries.
Right.
Because it's really about healthy communication and really kind of knowing what are the parameters. So I think, Kath, what you said, when it kind of gets unclear, like it starts out one way, I think that's why a lot of times companies, we have mission statements or vision statements or what are our parameters. So I would say if the boundaries start getting blurred in that particular instance, people could have a team meeting where it's like, okay, what are we accomplishing professionally? And like, let's say too much personal talk's happening at work, that can even be addressed. And then people could go out and have a coffee and then make that the time where they're going to talk about their families or something, so that it just gets, the boundaries get tightened up again.
Give us some best practices for dating boundaries.
Oh, well, it's so interesting because I feel like after being, for me personally, for clients that I see, I work with all ages, I think when you're about to go out on a date, you need to know, okay, are we going to meet for a coffee? And like how much do you already know this person? So you have to have your safety boundaries with dating too, where if you're meeting someone for the first time, like where are we going to meet? Are we going to meet during the day for a coffee? It's kind of like known that that's a really good way to do it. And then if you want to have your own sexual or physical boundaries, talking with someone about that via phone or in person and having the communication about it, I think is really helpful. especially in the milieu environment. I've had people where they're about to go on a date, and even before someone kisses them, they're like, what are, like, I think a lot of people, in fact, this came up in my practice recently. Someone had been accused of something that they didn't do, and they were so fearful that this person might make something up about them with the whole Me Too situation. I'm not, I want to stay really neutral about that. Even I think that topic even like makes a lot of people's hair raise on the back of their neck, because I think it's great that people are talking, but has it gone too far? I mean, there's all these different ways people feel. So I find in the dating world now, especially after that, a lot of men are checking in and saying, is this too much or is this too little? Because they're living a little bit in fear now of the parameters. And the one thing I want to say that I've heard from friends that are fluent in other languages, and maybe you can help me out as your experience as a reporter, that English is very precise in our words and very linear and very harsh compared to other languages. And so I think sometimes it comes across all or nothing in the way we discuss things, and there's not as many shades of gray. So when you're talking about dating or what your boundaries are, it can come across pretty harsh. So, you know, like someone's like, wait a second, I didn't accuse you of the Me Too movement. I'm just asking you if I can kiss you. You know what I'm saying? So in the dating world, I've had people have more fear around dating and the boundaries of dating. And I think the linear language sometimes can be a little bit harsh, and it doesn't quite encapsulate like all that you would want to convey.
Let me ask you, what about the serial boundary buster? Whether it's in your personal life or, you know, maybe it's someone who's generally, excellent to work for or excellent to be a partner with, or, you know, typically a lovely child, right? But this is the person that just busts the boundaries. And what's your advice for dealing with someone like that who's always just pushing the boundary or maybe just blowing the boundary up?
Well, it depends on the situation, right? So
let's do a child. You know, you say this is this, and then it's like they're not till you can't get out of bed till 7 a.m. and then it's earlier and earlier, and they know the boundary, but they choose to break it.
Okay. So that's pretty easy for me to answer, because my son always is wanting to push the envelope, and I think a lot of parents feel that way about their kids, because kids are going to test us out to see how far they can go. And so what I do is I say, you know, this is the reason, and this is why you need to go to bed for this reason. You need to get enough sleep, but oh, you let me stay up late one time. So if you as a parent have gone, like you haven't followed your own boundaries, the kids are also, it's like it works both ways, because kids are going to go in anywhere they can and try to get more, increase their allowance, have their bedtime be later, have more play dates and whatnot. So that's just a normal kid thing. But the way I handle it in my home is I reset the boundary, but I also give him credit because he's an incredible negotiator. I turn it into like, wow, like I really, you know, you've got a lot of persistency there, but this is what it is. But if in business, you are like, you're going to rock it. You're going to not now. He's like, he comes up with the most amazing arguments as to why.
Right.
And so I listen to him, and I think he respects that I actually listen to him. So then he's more likely to follow the boundary. So I think giving some positive feedback, because I'm like, he really is an incredible negotiator. I'm like impressed. I'm like, he was born to do business someday. And so I say that to him, or I say, wow, you can be an attorney someday. You can run your own company someday. But here's the boundary mom setting, the end. And he still tries. Don't get me wrong. It's like maddening at times. But I'm also kind of proud of him, because I'm like, wow, he really knows what he wants to get.
Let me wrap up our cool discussion on boundaries with kind of letting you access your memory banks of, and I know we have to be cognizant of privacy, but when someone who maybe wasn't firm with their boundaries in their lives, but then they got the inspiration and maybe made a big difference in their lives by setting firm boundaries, When you've seen this work beautifully, tell us an inspiring story, doctor.
Well, I think the one that I alluded to earlier, where someone was in a position high up in a company and they had a lot of years there and they really didn't want to, they weren't in a place in a career where they were going to let that really super narcissistic, self-serving boss win, so to speak.
Right.
So that individual, through the therapy we did, because I have a really unique practice that way, they just stayed the course and really kept setting boundaries, gathering the data, doing everything. And it ended up that that malignant, toxic personality, neurostyle person ended up getting let go.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'll never forget the day that person came into my practice smiling like victory. It took 2 years, by the way. So to me, it was very inspiring because when you're going into a work environment and someone's toxic or negative or trying to throw you under the bus or to devalue you, and you've been there like 15, 20 years and you've got all these incredible benefits, sometimes they're trying to push you out of the company.
Right.
And this person literally stayed the course, rallied, found others that were treated this way. HR came in. They actually had to hire, because it was such a high level situation, they had to hire an outside mediator to assess the boundaries. I think everyone was CYAing it because they knew there could be lots of lawsuits if they let this person go. And so they did everything possible methodically. And then that person ended up working another 5 to 7 years at that place happy. So wow. To me, that's a real boundary win. And really, I think it's very inspirational. And I'm proud of the strength of that person's neurostyle to say, no. I'm going to be treated right. This company is an amazing company.
I'm clapping.
I'm not going to let someone push me out.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. It's inspiring for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Kath, for being on the show today. And everyone, thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week.